Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Stands in, throws down the middle for Edelman. Ball's tipped, and Julian diving for it.
I caught it!
Edelman has it. Did he make the catch?
He's got
it! He did!
You gotta be kidding me!
At the 40!
Boy, hard to tell.
I caught it. Crazy, I swear to...
No way, look at that.
Watch.
On the ground.
No.
I'm telling you what.
That's good stuff.
Phenomenal.
I love when players are mic'd up. I love hearing what, because you always see guys talking like at the end there. He's like, I caught it, and he's talking to a Falcon. I don't know who it is, but they're talking. They're looking at the replay and point, and they're talking to each other. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. And they're pointing at the screen. I always want to know what's going on in those combos. That's so cool to see that.
And I mentioned this to you guys when the playoffs started, but it's something that NFL Network has started doing, which is the condensed replay of the best game of the week. But the condensed replay includes all the mics, the parabolics on the sidelines. A couple guys are mic'd up. And it's just so just amazing to be on the kind of like get the insight of what happened in big plays and things like that. And nothing defines it more than the Edelman catch and the fact that the whole way he was adamant he caught it. And I said at the time about how the referee got it right. But the fact that it's hard for you to not say, I'll challenge it even still as a coach because you know your player is that adamant.
Yeah.
That was really, really good.
Yeah, because the first part of that when you hear it, when he's yelling, I caught it, is in the middle of the play.
Yeah.
It's right when he makes the catch. And then they kind of cut to the announcers. And then it's when they're reviewing it and he's talking to a Falcon and they're arguing over whether he caught it or not. But yeah, that's really cool, man. I love that kind of. And we got another one we'll play a little later. Another mic'd up thing from the NFL that I think was interesting as well.
Yeah.
To kind of shed some light on some of the mindset of some of the Falcons. But I did want to talk about real quick. I found this on Bro Bible, and they went out and got the stats from Pornhub during the Super Bowl. And so they basically broke down. They took the average, their average visits or web traffic for a Sunday. And so they kind of have that line. And then they wanted to see, did it go up or down? Above or below average during the Super Bowl or you know, after. So during the Super Bowl, at one point, the traffic to Pornhub was down like 27%. And then within about 30 minutes after the Super Bowl, it was up 9% over their average. So apparently people were
taking care of business.
Pretty excited about the Super Bowl. And then they broke it down by...
See what he did there?
Yeah.
Pretty excited about the Super Bowl.
And then they broke it down by, like, Massachusetts and Georgia. So during the Super Bowl, Georgia was down about 37% at its lowest. And that was at about 9 p.m. And the Massachusetts traffic was down about 53% at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then about that time, it really goes up. It like spikes. And at like 11, it goes from minus 53% to plus 18%. Or no, I'm sorry, plus 30%. So it's like this huge turnaround. Everyone was really feeling
so
themselves.
So at the end of the game, are you celebrating by going there? Or are you only doing it if you want to pull the dirty bird because you got...
I think the... Once the Falcons started fading, their numbers started to increase.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. And the same for the Patriots. It was it's hilarious to see the traffic. And then they broke it down by state, like how traffic was up or down by state.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise that the traffic, that the states with the least amount of traffic compared to their average was Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Vermont. Oh, Patriots country, basically.
Right.
All the those were down like 43%, 36%. Georgia was down 32%. And those were all the leaders as far as, you know, people not going to Pornhub like they normally do. And I'm proud of Texas. Texas was down 21% during the Super Bowl, not going to Pornhub. And then there's good old Alabama, who only saw a 15% decrease in traffic.
Jeez.
During the Super Bowl. So way to hang in there, Alabama. Way to not care. And, you know,
Nelly, how about that Alabama porn hub to die?
It was basically all SEC country. So these are the bottom five as far as, like, you know, in other words, they didn't stop going to Pornhub just because the Super Bowl was on. It was Alabama, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana.
Wow. So yeah, that is, it's the heart of
except for Oklahoma. It's safe to say that the rednecks
SECs and one.
The rednecks were not stopping their Pornhub for the Super Bowl. That was not going to happen.
Have we ever heard that before? Redneck in Oklahoma? Never mind. Huh? I was just trying to put two and two together.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Individuals? No?
What else? Craig,
that's a mic in front of you. You know that, right?
Huh?
That's a mic in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it's from?
What?
Oklahoma. So anyway, that was crazy. Did you follow me there?
Nope.
Oh, you should.
Totally lost.
I'll get you. At the same time, though, the audio that we were talking about with Edelman, though, I think that I don't know how much more they can do because of the fact that technically that's such a large setup with getting the players mic'd and all the other mics around the field. But I just think the more they can do that, and the other thing that I think NFL Networks does really well is the condensed game. Like if you miss a game, oh my God! If you miss a game and you realize, like we all kid about it sometimes, like how much is actual real game action in a televised game? And literally on a 3.5 hour telecast, it's about 40 some minutes of actual plays in game, and the rest is all commercials and fluff and all that other stuff. And when they condense it and they add the audio, that's where, like for millennials, I didn't watch the game, but if I have you're a millennial and you didn't watch the game, you have a favorite team, and you can catch up on an entire game in an hour. That's what Mike Greenberg said he does in the mornings. Like he knows.
This is on the NFL Network? They run them all?
They run, and yeah. And
how have I been missing this?
I learned that from an
They
intern,
not only
like
run them, they run like, I won't say they run them all, but they try to run like the best, say, handful. But then if you also have the NFL Sunday Ticket, you get them all.
Really?
Yeah, and so on NFL Sunday Ticket, the same place where the game was, you can go back later in the night and you can get your team or, you know, whatever
team. It's
just
team cut up, just snap, it's just snap, a, snap,
yeah,
snap,
it's like,
snap.
It's an hour.
Wow.
That, especially for people like us.
That could revolutionize my show prep.
Mike and Mike were talking about it when I was talking to them about it, and I was really curious about it. I know how we prep. I know how other shows prep. We were talking about it before the show today with Raheel.
Yeah.
But I was interested how they prep. And they were saying because their call is so early and because it's TV and radio and they have to be prepared that they do the DVR of the quick game prep thing.
Right.
And that's how they catch up and watch a full game in, you know, like an hour.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, in more really ways than helpful. Just football too. But I think more people should do that.
I'd love to see baseball like that. Just the pitches and the
way people already bitch about how long baseball is.
Yeah.
But if you could just,
they're trying to shorten it up, though. Did you see that?
Good point. Yeah, I did. And you,
they're trying to. Yeah, if you haven't heard about this, baseball is trying to speed up the game, and one of the ways that they're doing that is by trying to shorten extra innings. And so what they've done is they're going to try it out in the minors, but they want to start extra innings each half of an inning with a runner on second. And I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest with you. On the one hand, I'm all for innovation and new things, but they want to, you know, they want to start off with a runner on second, and then that's it. So, which gives a huge advantage to the home team, because you think about it, and that's what the article
that's
is even
very
saying.
Very good point.
If you don't score, it's kind of like, you know, getting to choose whether you want the ball first or be on defense first in an NFL overtime game. But if you don't score, then, yeah, all you got to do is sack bunt, pop fly, game over, you know, which I'm sure is going to shorten. I mean, obviously it's going to shorten it on both sides, but I'm sure both teams would start to deploy that strategy in extra innings. But I think you got to try stuff like that. But, you know, you get the purists that are like, man, don't mess with the game. You don't mess with the game at all. But I'm also of the idea that even if we had automatic balls and strikes, like they have the technology. I'm good with that too. Anything to improve the game and make it more accurate, because I always feel like human error sometimes can ruin baseball.
Yeah, as much more as so we than go the other to games. Replay maybe more excessively than ever before, especially in basketball and in football.
Yep.
I think in baseball, the strike zone is where the replay needs to be used as much as possible. I appreciate them in other places, but just watching as many games as I do, and I think we both are on the same page that we watch a ton of baseball, and you can be skewed by the center field camera if it's a little off.
Yeah.
But if you know that K-Zone can tell you pitch by pitch, I always look for it. If I go, ooh, that.
Yeah.
And then just to get that immediate, quick reaction, like where was it actually? I think it helps so much, but I think you're right.
Well, that's why I like watching ESPN, because they keep it up the whole time. That pitch tracks or whatever they have, mm-hmm. it's automatic. So once the ball crosses the plate, that circle pops up, and you know whether it was a ball or strike. And if they have that technology, why not just use it? I mean, you're still going to have a home plate umpire for foul calls and everything else.
Right.
But why not just get it right every time? Then there's no arguments of people stepping out because they're mad. You know, if it's a strike, it's a strike. Deal with it. Same thing with the pitchers.
Doesn't baseball get an equal amount of criticism for slowing down the game? They want to speed
the
game up,
saying.
More importantly,
yeah.
than worry about getting the call right. Isn't that true?
Because
that's what y'all need.
I don't think baseball is as concerned as they once were with speeding up the game. They know it's an issue.
Oh, I think they are. That's why they're trying this.
I mean, see, but I know they know it's an issue, but they also are realistic in the fact that there's only so much they can do. But what I don't like, Barry, to your point, is where I would fight it is from a statistic basis and working with a lot of people that have dealt with analytics. The analytical people are going to say, what have you done in extra innings? And then when you look at stats based on what's happened in extra inning games, it'll change. You can't compare year to year from the time that before you did this to the time you did this. And with and again, with runners in scoring position, all that other stuff. It's kind of an unfair screw job for pitchers, too, because you already start with runners in scoring position.
Yep. Well, and that's what they said. They're not sure also who that runner would be.
Earned runs.
Would it be the next batter up? Would it be a pinch runner at the manager's discretion? They're not sure about all that yet, or at least the article didn't say that. But I think it's at least there's some – because baseball's been so – I mean, it's America's pastime.
Yeah.
It's the national pastime.
Right.
But it's felt like it's past its time. Like it needs some innovation. It needs something new. I mean, I'm sure the NBA, when they introduced the three-point line, people were losing their mind. What is this garbage? It's the way the game is played now.
But to your point, think about this. Think about – you're right, because from a basketball standpoint, it's not just the implementation of the three-point line or replay.
Shot clock.
Then the shot clock's another one. But then how about the fact that the last 2 minutes now where every game is reviewed in the last two minutes, any missed calls are transparent, and the league is putting that out to show that, hey, from a transparency standpoint, from a league standpoint, we're not trying to hide anything, and if we blew it, we're going to tell you we blew it because we want to be –
And you can request replays in the last 2 minutes as well. Can't you?
You
request
can try,
a replay?
But it's actually official discretion.
They'll do it. They'll ask.
Yeah,
for it,
any,
though.
But it literally any like close call, borderline call in the final 2 minutes is reviewed.
Yeah, and then the other thing that they talked about in the article was that the MLB also proposed to do away with the intentional walk, which I think is really smart. And I've always wondered that. Why can't you just say, you know what, we're going to walk and put them on first. Let's face the next batter. Because one out of a million pitches gets wild because can't
I played
throw.
With a guy in college that literally
That's so rare, though.
Could pitch like when you were throwing it as hard as you can, he was fine. But if he had to throw four for an intentional walk, two of them may hit the backstop. Just couldn't do it. Couldn't ease up, and then it's a timing thing because the catcher is supposed to stay in that little box behind the batter's box until after the ball leaves the pitcher's hand and then hops out to get it. And people that try and take that literally, and pitchers that use that mentally, it's like the Steve Sachs Chuck Knobloch thing, but I'm with you. I mean, otherwise,
it's such a
I would much
thing.
Rather just go, hey,
we're going to put him
go
on first.
Now. Yeah, because it saves a lot of time.
I agree, and you think about how many times that's used.
Yeah,
it
no
really
question
those
about
are
it.
Those are. So I like the fact that they're coming up with some of this stuff. Some of it makes sense, like just getting the intentional walk over with the runner on second. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it works.
Yeah, I think that, and it's nice that the minor leagues can at least be the guinea pig, so that they don't have to worry about like screwing with the game until it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, they talked about where, and I don't have the, but they talked about where I don't want to. It was the Gulf Coast and Arizona leagues, which is like. The you know
fall leagues and where it's not a lot on the line.
It's where they always try new stuff.
Right.
So
all right, right now I want to tell you about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program and it's only phenomenal because you make it so. And how do I mean that? Well, I mean that you guys in the Houston area for years have been donating your old boats, RVs, cars, motorcycles, trucks, trailers, running or not, it doesn't matter. You've made the donations. And Cars for Kids has turned those donations into the resources necessary to give kids in the Houston area a second chance at a quality education. It's a phenomenal program. It's run by you. And it only continues to work because of you. So if you look around your yard, your storage unit, you know, in your driveway, back in the field, and you've got an old clunker that's just sitting around gathering rust and taking up space, now's the time to do something about it. When I say do something about it, all you got to do instead of lifting any manpower, muscle, or elbow grease is pick up the phone. pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226, or log on to carsforkids.com. Make sure you tell them that you have a vehicle, running or not, describe it, and all that work is done. You absolutely wipe your hands clean, and they do the rest. They do the paperwork. They come out with the tow truck. They get the vehicle. They take it away. And best thing for you is they give you a tax deduction. That tax deduction is probably going to be equal to or more than what you would have tried to sell it for in the first place. Plus, when you pay to take out an ad and do all the other things, it really adds up. This time, it adds up as a good feeling in your heart for doing something good for kids and a strong feeling in your taxes because you get a deduction. And all they do is they turn around and use that vehicle and sell it or use it for parts or do what they need to do to get it to people so that they can get cash in their pocket so that they can give kids trying to get a second chance at an education book money, eyeglasses, meals, bus ticket, anything that they need to make sure they can continue their education and have all the resources. That's what Cars for Kids does, and they do it all for you. Again, HoustonCarsForKids.com, 713-225-4226. Tell them you heard it on ESPN 97.5. Right off the top, you get a gift card as well. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is Corey Brewer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I'll give 30, and never met men like this. It's Tom Brady, though. I know. I'm never comfortable. We about to put our 40-some on their ass. I'm saying, they never seen anything like this.
Another great quote from Mic'd Up with the NFL Network's Taylor Gabriel warning Mohamed Sanu that Tom Brady's a bad man.
It's Tom Brady, man. That's his quote. He goes, I don't care. They never seen nothing like this, man. We're about to put up 40 on them.
Yep.
Well, it's Tom Brady, man. That was pretty telling. Taylor Gabriel trying to warn Mohamed Sanu. It ain't over, dude. Don't start. As my mom would say, don't start counting your chickens before they hatch.
Now, did you hear this too? Because you guys already know, I'm already way past and over this whole missing jersey thing. Now they're saying that there's a big U-Haul truck coming back to the Patriots facility today with everything from the Super Bowl, and they think there's a pretty good chance the jersey may be on that truck.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. To be honest with you, I never cared about the story.
It just keeps getting bigger and more. It's all national. It's all over the place. And then stuff that I'm missing along the way that I heard that because a report wasn't filed, HPD wasn't involved, that all of a sudden HPD was involved after Dan Patrick had to be noticed and be seen and heard to say that he made sure the Texas Rangers were involved. And I'm going, come on. And seriously. And now Lisa told me that the ball is missing as well from the final touchdown.
He forgot to get it back.
Exactly.
He forgot to keep it. That's what it was.
That's his fault.
So someone's got it and they're allowed to have that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a game ball. I'm sure it's gone somewhere, you know, like they keep the ball and stuff, but he had the option to hang on to the ball, then take it home and put it on his mantle and, you know, he didn't do that.
I think Travis made a pretty good point on Monday, and I want to get your thoughts on this. But he said that he thinks it may have been staged intentionally, the jersey, because the Hall of Fame gets involved, and whatever they want, they get from any big game. So if they want that jersey, it immediately goes to Canton, and evidently the player doesn't have any say-so. And that's the kind of keepsake that you would think, as a player like Tom Brady, who played his ass off, that's kind of a memento that you would want for yourself. And so Trav kind of put the whole bug in the ear that maybe that jersey's not as lost as you think, but maybe it'll never be found.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Would you want it?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know.
If you're the strong safety that picks off the ball at the end of the game and goes the distance and scores the winning touchdown, you want your jersey, don't you?
I mean, I guess. It's one of those things where if I've been there, I don't know that it would matter. I would want my jersey or something like that for my first Super Bowl, but my fifth one?
But maybe the best game of all time. Maybe the best Super Bowl game of all time. I would think you'd want that.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I think once you've been there enough, and it's like doing radio, right? Like when you first start doing radio, everything's so cool. Like you want a picture of you at the mic. But then once you do it, it's like, I have a feeling. I know it's special to get to the Super Bowl, not easy, but I have a feeling that Tom Brady, there's other things that he takes from it more than just that jersey. I mean, I could be wrong, but I know that's how I would be. It probably wouldn't matter
Nick,
to me.
Would you want it?
I would.
I would too.
That's just my personal. I mean, I haven't been to five Super Bowls either, but I do appreciate what you're saying, because when I was in radio and every opportunity I had a chance to get credentialed to a game, there's no way I was missing that game. Now, if I really, I mean, you really, I got to be completely out of the mood, but I might skip a Rockets game. I might skip a Texans game. I only did it once last season, but I mean, I can see how it gets redundant. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I see, you know, and I still got my college jerseys and things like that, but I'm just kind of I'm a momentum guy. I mean, I mean, not momentum. What is it? It's a memento. I would save those mementos from those kind of, you know, experiences in your life that you're always going to remember.
Yeah, because Super Bowl, it's not that redundant. You know what I mean? Five times, it's still five. Only.
But look
five
at the
times.
Way, and I'm just like, saying the way the game
for
played
a
out
for a quarterback, but it's still you only went there five times your entire career.
MVP.
Well, no, you went to seven.
Brought him back
five. Or seven, yeah. Right? Yeah.
MVP. Leads the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, the only overtime in Super Bowl history. You know, all the different accolades that go with it, I would just think that's one where whether it makes it above your fireplace or not doesn't matter, but you would want to hang on to that for the sake of, you know. And it's weird, too.
I mean, I'm not saying it's silly or anything like that. I could see why. You just asked if I would. And
yeah, I do. I don't think I would.
I don't know why. I just don't think I would care that much. But I see why people do. I get it. I totally get it.
And maybe he wanted it, but now that it's missing, it's like, okay, well it's gone missing.
Like, I'll give you an example. I have video that I'll never show you guys.
Oh.
But I have video of my first open mic ever, and I'll never get rid of that. Because
It's very cool.
Yeah, I want to save that and see how I've progressed as a comic and all that. But stuff like that, yeah. But, you know, like, I don't know.
Do you review if I ever and did, pause and look at mic placement and look at posture?
Yeah.
And
yeah, totally. Yeah. No, not anymore. No. I still record my sets and listen to them all the time. Like every set I do, whether it's on a show or open mic, I record it and then I listen it usually on the drive home and think, all right, well, here's where I screwed up. This is where I can make the joke better. I need to drop this. Yeah, I still listen to it like game film.
That's very
absolutely
cool.
Got to get better. Do you listen to our show?
No.
You don't listen to this show when you're done?
No.
I do. I listen to this show.
I do it all the time.
I listen to this show and I listen to Game Day, and I try to figure out ways that I could do what I do better.
I listen to every. I'm always listening to just to get ideas from what other people do, and I don't ever. And I've learned a lot from you in terms of the fact that I never want to copy what someone else does,
mm-hmm.
but I want to hear what everybody else does, and then think about how we could do something along those lines.
Okay.
To try and get better, but I don't. See, first of all, and I've told you guys this before, I hate my voice. I hate it. I hate listening to it. I used to hate it when it was on like our message machine at home and all that stuff. I've never been a fan of my own voice, so I hate listening to it.
Right.
But yeah, I always try and learn from like what others are doing or what they did, and I go, ooh, that was bad. You know, make sure we never do that. But yeah, I do. I spend a lot of time listening. I just listen to what everybody else does. I love how many people copy us now. But that's
really?
Yeah.
So you don't like this? I mean, I got over that, like the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
I got over that. But you'd be surprised, man. I challenge you. Listen to our show. Listen to the shows you do after each one for a week. And I guarantee you, you'll find five things that you'll be like, I don't like that I do this. I don't like that I do
you'll
that.
You'll find five things in one segment sometimes.
Yeah, well, that you could
Nick,
do better.
But I was going to say
not
about
for
myself.
You, but just in general.
Yeah, and I was going to say that about myself anyway. I said that would probably be depressing because
like
I'd probably be, yeah.
You'll find five things in a segment.
But here's
maybe
the
about
other thing.
You, Nick.
I don't have to go back. No. And I don't have to go back and listen to it. I can just read Twitter. And I can figure out five things. I can figure out five things every day.
You act like the people don't tell us, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I got the condensed. You know how we're talking about the condensed version of the games? I got the condensed version of every show we do on Twitter with all the people that think that they're going to be the experts to tell me what I need to change.
By the way, speaking of guys like that.
Yeah.
Your boy Richard.
Yeah, I see that.
He's like, this may sound strange, but I agree with Joel. And don't compare Super Bowls to radio. This show is the Super Bowl of radio, Richard.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah. And you, never mind. We're at the halfway point. It's time for Orange Slices and Gatorade. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with much more on National Pizza Day right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. In the middle of Paris with a Dominican.
Hey, Joel Berry and Nick, as we're coming back for the third quarter, coming out of halftime with a good first half of the show, as we continue to roll on. If you are a memorabilia person, I mentioned this to Nick, but big memorabilia show this weekend at the GRB. No, not at the GRB, actually, at NRG, the TriStar show. They got some big names there.
Yeah, you were telling me about that yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have a collection, and a lot of it is just from being in sports for all those years. But there's a lot of stuff. You know, I kind of like just walking around and seeing, like, what people have compiled and what they've gotten. And then I also kind of get a kick out of, like, the ones that are a joke, because you can tell how fake they are, but people, like, swear how legit they are.
Mm-hmm.
And being around autographs as much as we were, because we had signing sessions and guys had to sign like 300 basketballs and 800 posters and 10, you know, 100 jerseys. You get to see their signature and you're like, yeah, it's not even close. I don't know if, you know, Ted Danson signed that for you or some other guy, but that wasn't the autograph you thought it was. But, yeah, the TriStar show is always a big deal. I always like walking around that one. That's pretty cool. But you're not so you wouldn't be a memorabilia guy, huh?
I used to be. In fact, the other day I was...
But you come across so many comedians and stuff like that, too. That would be kind of neat.
You know, like when I just...
Like the George Wallace deal.
Nothing.
Really? Yeah, but are they known?
I followed him on Twitter, and he followed me back, and that did it for me.
See, I don't do it
for
money. He followed
me back. He followed me back, and then we had a private conversation over DMs just on Twitter. That was so cool.
That's very cool.
We just talked about the Falcons and all this other stuff. And, yeah, that means more to me than, you know, keeping anything. But I used to collect... in fact, I was in my attic the other day and was going through all my old baseball cards and basketball cards and foot. And then I was thinking, these are all worthless at this point.
See,
these are worth nothing.
You and I and Travis all have our card collections.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that was like the bomb. You know, that was the stuff that everybody was after. Like if you had not the newer full sets and all the things when people kind of got back into collecting, but if you had the stuff from back in the day when you were a kid, that stuff had real value. And you're right. All of a sudden, it's like I'm looking at this massive collection of cards from baseball, basketball, football, and all the ones that I have. And now it's just like the value is just gone.
What if it's like a Michael Jordan signed basketball card? No?
Yeah.
Is it worth anything?
The sign sometimes can take away from it. But if it's like Michael Jordan's rookie card, it's still pretty valuable.
Yeah, well, I'm like, oh, man, I remember getting several Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco rookie cards and thinking, psh, I got retirement right here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be set. And now I'm like, this is worthless.
I have like three
I might as well
Montana
just shred this and
card.
Put it in the litter box. Yeah. I mean, there's some that you just know at the time you were like, this is going to be – I remember getting like Derek Coleman rookie cards thinking, oh, yeah, baby.
From Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no.
Like Griffey Jr.'s rookie card.
Yep.
Has some value. I have that. I have Montana's. I have some other ones. But I've got a lot of old my dad had old tobacco cards from the 30s. But even those.
Really? No, those, yeah.
I bet you like a Willie Mays card would be worth some money.
Well, the most valuable baseball card of all time is the Ty Cobb, right? Or the, I'm sorry, the Honus Wagner.
I was gonna say it's the Honus Wagner, I believe.
And it's like it's like millions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's only a few. But yeah, I always I saved all that stuff, but I think the memorabilia, and now there's always a part of me too that worries that the memorabilia is going to lose its luster too.
Yeah.
Over time.
That's why I also just stopped, because after going through the whole, cause I think I told the story on this show about the cup I had signed by all the Rockets.
Uh-uh. I don't think I heard
tell that story.
Did you hear that?
Well, sorry out there if you're listening and you heard this before, but,
Lauren Pope.
Yeah. But I had this, it was the first year of the championship, Cassell, Ori.
94.
And I went to a game and they were giving out these cups, mm-hmm. like drinking cups, plastic with
like
the handle.
The big one.
And I after the game, I went and had all the Rockets. I waited outside and got every Rocket to sign it. Olajuwon, everybody was on this cup. Cassell, Ori. I mean, so I was super pumped about that and had it for years. And then my first wife and I, we get married, we move in, and I have my office, and I'm setting it up, and I put my cup up on this kind of a shelf, you know, with some other memorabilia that had signed baseballs and stuff. And I come home one day, and my wife, ex-wife, is hanging pictures in the house. And I walk into a room where she's using my cup as a hammer to put nails in the wall to hang pictures. And I was like, what the bleep are you doing? She's like, well, I couldn't find the hammer. I'm like, dude.
Was it a, it's a plastic cup, right?
Yeah. It, so basically, it just dented everywhere. Just holes
and,
it's
putting nails
just
in the walls?
Just ruined it. Yeah, and she's using that as a hammer. I'm like,
the marriage was doomed after that.
Well, that was pretty much when it, well, actually, this is such a bad story, but, you know, I swear, this is the God's honest truth. When she was walking down the aisle, I was thinking, I wonder when I'm going to leave her. Like, that's such a horrible.
That's really bad.
Hashtag deal breaker.
Yeah, that's such a really horrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Because I never wanted to get
not
married.
Hashtag deal breaker. Hashtag deal broken. It's already over.
Yeah, yeah. It was because it was one of those things where I didn't really want to get married, but I was young. I think I was 21 at the time. And she was just pressuring me to get married. And so I was just like, whatever. I mean, it's no big deal. Fine. And then I remember just thinking, I wonder when I'm going to leave her. And I can't believe I went through with it, but I did.
I can actually kind of relate to that.
Can you?
But I didn't go all the way through and marry anybody.
Obviously.
You know what I mean? So I pulled out.
What?
Wow. Heyo.
There's that then. See, now I can't even follow that. I was going to say something about my memorabilia, the two things that really bothered me about stuff that I had, but after that story, I don't know if you can bounce back from that one.
What, about using the hammer?
Yeah, and then following it up with when she was walking down the aisle.
I tell a joke on stage where I say, I talk about, I was married before, and people asked me to describe my first marriage. And I said, you ever bought a ticket to a movie and like 3 minutes in, you realize you've made a mistake? Like a Nicolas Cage movie? Like that was my first marriage. It was like a Nicolas Cage movie. That's the God's honest
truth. Any Adam
Sandler
movie in the last seven years.
How dare you, sir?
That's just cash grabs.
Oh, like the last five? Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't
been. I'm saying he has had some good ones, but not
best Adam Sandler movie to you. Best Adam Sandler movie.
I mean, I got several. I
only
love
one. You can only pick one. Desert Island, you can only watch one Adam Sandler movie. What's it going to be?
Man, I don't know.
I like Grown Ups.
Big Daddy?
Big Daddy? Okay.
I like Big Daddy.
Yours?
Grown Ups is another good one, I think.
I got to go Happy Gilmore.
See, that's where I was
going. I got to go Happy Gilmore.
I was torn between those two because I own them both.
Yeah, I got to go Happy Gilmore for sure.
So quick on my memorabilia story. So I was a ball boy for the Bucks growing up, right? So when they had ball night, they give away the basketballs, right? And a lot of them before they were the actual rubber playground ball, it was kind of like the kind of plasticky material. But I got creative, and I would scratch off the Bucks logo, which was like a decal. And then my dad was an artist, and he taught me about how to draw some things. And I would put the logos of like the Sixers and the Lakers and the Celtics. And then because I ran the visiting team locker room, I would get all those teams to sign the ball. So all of a sudden, one day, I was thinking, I was at college, and I was like, man, I got the champion Celtics, Lakers, Pistons. I'm going down the line. I'm like, I got the Sixers. I mean, I got all these different balls. So I go to my mom. I go, where are they? She's like, don't worry. I took care of them. They're downstairs in the basement. And obviously in the Midwest, you have big basements. So next time I came home for a holiday.
I was going to say, is that code for big ass? But all right.
No, that's a big stove. Okay. I go down.
She's got a big stove.
Yeah. I go down in the basement, right? And my mom, I go, can you give me an idea? And she goes, I don't know, but they're in a big hefty bag.
Oh, well, they're ruined.
Well, not even that. I found the big hefty bag leaning against the furnace.
Oh, no.
Oh. You want to talk shrinkage in your balls? I'm telling you that these balls that were full-size basketballs that had autographs from Hall of Famers were like egg-shaped and shrunken. Oh, my God. I mean, your heart sinks to your heels going, oh, what could have been. And now, not so much. Yeah, that one hurt a lot.
Yeah, and some people, of course, are chiming in on the Adam Sandler stuff.
Yep. They're welcome to do.
Yeah, yeah. Nestor said Happy Gilmore, hands down.
Yeah, I was torn between Big Daddy and Hands Down. I mean, and Hands Down, and Happy Gilmore.
Right?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah, because those are two of the best. But AJ says Billy Madison all day.
Which I also own.
Phil Rurudo.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not a bad flick.
No, but I don't think anything tops punching Bob Barker. I mean,
it was great, and I don't, and that's you guys aren't golfers. You didn't have to be a golfer to like that movie.
With the hand, and then the what was his name with the hand, the fake hand? I forget his name now. I got
someone's
now,
going to tell you. Very,
now I've got to watch
shortly.
It again.
We're getting tweets about this. A lot of people react.
Yeah, they will tell you exactly who the guy is.
Lauren Pope did tweet. I've actually heard the cup story before.
See, I told you, and I called that one.
I can never remember if I've told it on here or on Sunday or both. I don't know. And I feel bad for the people that listen both days, on Sundays and during the week.
Well, I know if you've been listening to the show this week, you know that Valentine's Day is coming up Tuesday, and we keep giving you these reminders, and we do it throughout the shows during the day here on ESPN Radio because of the fact that we have great deals for you brought to you by Sherry's Berries. If you forgot about Valentine's Day, it's Tuesday. Hello. And if you haven't done anything yet, it's not too late. And if you do something now and you act quickly, we're going to give you a deal to try to make yourself even look more heroic than like a absent-minded husband, wife, etc. All you have to do is go to Sherry's Berries website, which is berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner. There's a microphone. Click on it. Put in J blank. You get the deal of the day. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries that start just $19.99, and you double the berries for just $10 more. All you do is put that code in, J blank. You get, for $10 more, double the berries. You can get two boxes. That means send one box to her work, send one box to the house. You can probably indulge in the one at the house. But in the meantime, all the people at her work are jealous, and you look like a hero for doing something and getting sweets for your sweet. My wife loves them. She loves the combination of the fruit and the fact that the strawberries are huge. They're juicy. They're fresh. And then she's a chocoholic, and they dip them in white chocolate and dark chocolate, and then they top them with chocolate chips and swizzles and all kinds of nuts. They're phenomenal. They're fresh, and they're never, ever going to let you down, and that's the gift that keeps on giving, because once you get your sweets some sweets and she's happy, the wife happy, happy life, you're all taken care of. Like I said, all you got to do is get to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com, go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the microphone, type in J blank. You get the deal of the day, which is $20 plus shipping for the berries, and then for an extra $10, a double dose of Sherry's Berries. You can't go wrong. Order now.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Drinking a German beer. Just stay out of my way. You'll pay. Listening to what I say.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say?
To keep us from mistakenly forgetting an F-bomb or something
that's
like
my,
that.
That's my favorite scene in the whole Happy Gilmore movie, but then I couldn't remember. Does he cuss at the end? So I had Nick playing, and then I was like, uh-oh.
And Nick's sitting here multitasking, patting the brakes on the button as well as playing it, going, oh, I hope we don't get in trouble here.
Right? Yeah, that was so last minute. But
That's kind of the way we do things sometimes.
But that is my favorite scene in the whole movie. I don't know why that one like resonated with me so much. That one, he was like, price is wrong, bitch, but that's it.
You're right. I got to go back. I do now. I want to go back and watch both of them.
Yeah, it's a must watch.
Now, can you explain to me what the hell happened to him in the last 5 to 7 years?
Sometimes you just run out of ideas.
Plus, he still knows that no matter what he puts out, he's still going to make money off of him.
He produces. He has his own production company. He does a lot of behind-the-scenes.
Happy Madison, yeah.
Then he employs all of his friends, too.
You know, and it's...
This like, Rob Schneider has made a killing off of Adam Sandler.
And I featured for Rob Schneider's feature in San Antonio.
I've seen him in concert before.
And I just got to say, I'm not a huge fan.
Not in stand-up, I'm not at all.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If he called and was like, hey, I want Barry to feature for me, I'd go.
He was funny in Saturday Night Live, and he's had some roles in some movies that are funny, including in Big Daddy.
Yep.
But overall, I saw him in stand-up, and I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
You call it a concert?
I was always afraid to use overrated around.
No. It's just a show.
Just saw a show. There you go. I saw a show at the Improv.
Rich Smith wants to know, no love for Spanglish. He said, you seem like a rom-com guy. I am.
I was going to say, it's just kind of a chick flick, but it was all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
In fact, my favorite rom-com. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Just see Joel's face.
Oh, my God. Next, we're going back to Taylor Swift and freaking Katy Perry.
I God, we needed video for that. You just sunk.
Boy.
You sunk in your chair more than when I was going to read the whole porn thing. Like, you were more disturbed about going to rom-com.
The cringing was if my wife was listening and trying to go, I heard you. You agreed with him. You must have seen it or done something. I'm like, oh, boy. And if she's listening now, picking up Taylor from school, I'm screwed anyway, so it doesn't matter. Either way, get your tool belt, I'm screwed.
Spot on impression.
No.
I've watched her in the mornings. You nailed it.
I'm going to let you know, too. You're an evil person. You know how many times, and I don't know, and I'm sure, Barry, you might. I don't know. I don't know how many times, but how many times I have to deal with the fact that, like, in the middle of a conversation, right, you're kidding around, and I'll go, you know, like she says, you know, make sure you take out the trash. Take out the trash. And immediately, I don't sound like that. It's like it comes back with your James Earl Jones voice. Right? And she just, or like Darth Vader, I don't sound like that.
That's
I'm like,
awesome.
I'm not saying I'm trying to do your spot on impression. I'm just doing like a, okay. But yeah, so if I she heard that, I can't wait to get home.
Oh, God. I can't wait. Hey, can you just tag the segment? I'm going to email it to her.
That also is not surprising. Tyler, you want to get in here on Happy Gilmore? What's up?
I just want to say I love the show, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
And Barry, the funny thing was, is the minute you said that about Bob Barker, I just said that to myself, not 10 seconds before he said it, because that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, no, that
Did
is.
Did you answer yourself, Tyler?
It was just so funny, because like I said, I just said that to myself, and then you go off and say, you can't get any better than punching Bob Barker.
No, it is like, I mean, because who would have thought of that, right? Like, that's one of those things where it's like comedic genius just kind of happens sometimes, and that was one of those times.
Now, Tyler, when you were talking to yourself, did you answer yourself, too?
Yeah, it's one of those things. But anyway,
okay, cool.
I follow Colin Coward on Facebook, and I was just curious if y'all agree with what he said yesterday. He was saying that the Golden State Warriors have an easier schedule to get into the finals than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you agree with that?
I do not.
Man, I haven't looked at their schedules. I'd have to go and break it down.
I mean, are you talking about setup come playoff time? Because if you look at the Eastern Conference,
exactly.
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference, look, there's two teams. I give Cleveland and Toronto, and I don't really give anybody else a chance. So, you know, there's
now that
a whole
I would agree with.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of teams that want to be. I think Cleveland, every year, the benefit of playing in the East and being the Cavaliers is you're almost guaranteed to get there. It's just can you get over the mountaintop? Whereas if you're the Spurs or you're the Warriors or you're the Clippers or whoever it is,
right.
There's a whole lot of wars to fight before you get to the big battle, and a lot of times you get beat up. You know, look at the case. Even when the Rockets were there 2 years ago in the Western Conference Finals, they lost Dwight in Game 1 with a 16-point lead at Golden State, and the whole rest of the series was not even a series. And, you know, you risk so much more when you're in competitive, really knockdown, drag-out series like you're going to get in the West.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I apologize. I thought he meant regular season. I'm like, dude, I haven't broken down.
Yeah, though. Right.
But yeah, playoff-wise, I mean, you look at it, 7-8 right now are sub-500 teams in the East. Yeah, of course you'd love to be sitting, you know, third playing, you know, a team that's 29-23 like the Pacers. Of course. But, you know, I mean, you're getting guys that are 33-22. I mean, there is a sub-500 team, believe it or not, in the West now. The Nuggets are eighth at 23-29. But overall, yeah, I think the competition in the East is easier.
I mean, you're talking about the Warriors and you open up with the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I mean, okay. Or the Mavs. Okay. I mean, yawn and move on.
Yeah.
It's over. You know, in the East, there's a reason why, like, Milwaukee played a back-to-back with Cleveland, and they've played Cleveland really tough this whole year. But if you tell me the Cavs have Milwaukee in a 7-game series, it's not going more than 5 games.
No.
It's just not. And again, that's what I always say when we talk about the difference between the regular season and the playoffs. When you have a 7-game series against one opponent and you can break down tape and you can start taking away what they do best, kind of like the Belichick philosophy in football, but you can really do it in basketball, and then teams have to the pressure is so much on the higher seed, the lesser of the teams, and you can just suffocate them if they can't figure out other ways to do things. So
yeah, and then not to go all nerdy number crunching on you, Cleveland right now is sitting at a .706 winning percentage. That would make them third in the West.
Yeah, that's a great
point. And right now there are 6 of the 8 playoff teams in the West that are .600 or above.
Would have home court in the East?
There are 2 teams 600 or above in the East, the Celtics.
So they would have home court, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it tells you that's a big discrepancy between the two. So
yeah, when you start thinking about it, too, and how important home court advantage is, and we've said this for years,
yep.
When you look at the two conferences and realize how many of the lower seeds in the West would be home court advantage top 4 teams in the East, you realize there's just no comparison between the two conferences. Therefore, there's no doubt the Cavs have an easier path. And even with Toronto, I mean, look, they don't run any offense, and so they're great in the regular season, but come playoff time, they get exposed. And so you really have to just focus on one team if you're the Cavaliers, as opposed to every series in the West seems to be somewhat tough. So
yep.
There you go. All right. We got plenty more show to get to. We've got a break to hit. And then with two in the books and one to go, we will get back to much more show. If you want to join us, 713-780 or hit us up on Twitter or send us a text, we are ESPN 97.5.
The price is wrong, bitch.
This is AJ Boye, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.